The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show live on the road, Chicago, the DNC. And Dominic, we are joined right away by a fine guest, John Fugelsang from the SiriusXM. You know him from the Sexy Liberal Tour.
Oh, God.
John, it's been a few years, but great to see you,
it's
man.
It's great to, yeah, it's, to I'm see really you, glad you guys are still willing to drag your broadcast down to this level. It's really fantastic.
It's our pleasure.
You know?
We love to do it. And you're still looking sexy as ever.
Some of you guys come here and you try to get newsworthy people or dignified people of note, and not the devil's out. You guys are willing to just roll in the gutter, and I'm so honored. Thank you, John, for your low standards in booking.
That
it really
is the
means
nicest
a lot
thing I've ever heard.
Speaking of rolling in the gutter, how'd the Sexy Liberal show Chicago with Stephanie Miller goes.
So we've been doing this Unholy Tour for a few years, as you know. You gentlemen have been subjected to it in the past. We had a great show at the Vic Theater the other night. It was live streamed as a pay-per-view as well. The tour is me and Stephanie and Hal Sparks and Frangela, and our guests the other night were Governor J.B. Pritzker showed up. That guy, his Chris Walken, whoa, that guy's hilarious. Now, J.B. Pritzker, Mark Hamill joined us, Chairman Jamie Harrison,
nice.
Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky, and Jill Weinbanks. Those were the special guests for our show the other night, and it was a riot. The crowd was great. This tour has been... We've been doing this tour for like 13 years, but this year it's been crazy. And for all these dates, it's been the, hey, let's go out there and win it for the old guy tour. Let's get excited for the old guy. We're going to do it. Win this for Joe. And then we had the Sexy Liberal talking each other off a ledge tour for a couple of weeks.
Right.
And now it's the Sexy Liberal, holy crap, what drugs have you people taken that made you this happy, and where can I buy some? It's been exuberant. When we first went up in Atlanta right after the great switch, I couldn't believe the crowd response, and you guys have beheld it, and
yes.
And every show we've done, we were in New York and did a show, and it was just crazy and joyful, and people who are excited about the ticket, and you know, Joe Biden deserved better. We don't deserve Joe Biden. This old man was not my first choice, but the most legislatively accomplished president of my lifetime. I hate the ageism. Mick Jagger's 80, Keith Richards is 80, Harrison Ford's 80. Martin Scorsese, Robert De Niro, Carole King.
Hey, it's easy to be young. You know, it's not easy to be old.
Well, I'm like, I got no problem. Look how much this guy's gotten done. Look at what this old man has done with the PACT Act and the CHIPS Act and the lowest childhood poverty rate and the lowest unemployment in 50 years. And weed is decriminalized at the federal level. Cannabis has moved to Schedule 3. Infrastructure, the Inflation Reduction Act. You can buy hearing aids over the counter now. I'm like, holy crap. Let's get a 100-year-old president, see how much he can get done.
Yeah, but Donald Trump was way better looking than Kamala Harris.
Oh, so much better looking. I have to agree with that because I'm a blindly obedient homoerotic stooge. So at some point, it's amazing how the homophobes just really like it both ways, isn't it? This
yes,
blindly
do.
Slobbering goober obedience of unmanly subservience. It just at some point it's got to be embarrassing, right? Like they hated us so much because we told the truth about Bush and Cheney. We warned them about Bush and Cheney, and they hated us. They hated us. And then we were proven right about Bush and Cheney. And they hated us even more. And then Man Baby comes along in 2015. And Man Baby tells him, Bush and Cheney lied to you. The Iraq was a racket. Blah, blah, blah. Like, you're right. You're right. And now, three RNCs in a row, and the only other living ex-Republican president is persona non grata again. And
again.
They cut Bush and Cheney loose because they're a fickle party. And one guy, Man Baby, shows up and tells them, and they dropped it. They didn't apologize to us. Now they agreed with us.
Oh,
now they're calling.
Yeah, right,
now
right.
We're the warmongers.
Yes.
Because
yes.
They're blaming Joe Biden for what Putin does and what Netanyahu
Why
does.
Why were they listening to you then?
But that's the whole thing, right? You look at Elon Musk. He says, I'm going to give Trump $45 million a month. Then he changes his mind 2 days later. A cult of fickle bitches just fickled their bitch. Gentlemen, in 10 years, these Philistines are going to deny they ever supported Trump. They'll say, well, I went for him the first time in 16, but I was done after that. They're going to deny they ever supported this guy in 10 years.
Hope you're right.
Oh, they will. Trust me. They don't believe in anything. They need a ruler. And they will cut him loose. If he wore a Black Lives Matter t-shirt, they'd all leave him right away.
Folks, you're listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. We got fine guest John Fugelsang from the SiriusXM, most recently off the Sexy Liberal Tour right here in Chicago. And we find ourselves at the DNC. But Kamala's not going to be here today, John. She's in Milwaukee making our life very, very difficult.
I know. You got to settle for the Obamas and Bernie Sanders tonight.
I don't know how we're going to get through.
I hope that's going to be enough for you.
Well, couldn't we simulcast? Couldn't we do it both? And I think there is probably going to be some technological effort.
Hey,
we know
look,
it's always hard to travel.
Let me
tech.
Put it this way, okay? If Kamala Harris is giving a speech and it's not being broadcast, at least it'll feel like we're on CNN. So look at it that way.
John, any takeaways so far? Only one day into this extravaganza, but the press relative to, let's say, Cleveland, we're at the RNC in Cleveland, this would have been in a parking garage. That's what they did to, like, radio and non-networks
really?
In Cleveland. We were in a
when
bar.
When was it in Cleveland?
2016 Republican.
Right,
now,
right.
The Philly was a good time. We were on Radio Row there.
In 2016, yeah.
In 2016.
Yeah.
No conventions to attend in 2020, but the difference in tone, even the Hillary convention, I mean, the Dems party, John, the Republicans, they're sour. They're the only thing working is Grindr.
Well, the Republicans
the
are
Republican
angry. The Republicans are very angry. You have to understand something. You have to have a little compassion because you see they own this country.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it belongs to them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, their ancestors built it with their own hands, and who are these swarthy types? These academics, these non-whites, these non-Christians, these gay people thinking they can love who they want in a society that brags about liberty. Who are these union types and these immigrants and these educated people and these women who be thinking too much? Who are these people that are violating the America we were promised we would inherit that we owned, that our parents owned? And as our white heterosexual, I don't like calling them Christian. They're Christian, but they're not Christ followers, if you know what I mean. There's Christ followers, and there's Jesus Club, and they're in the Jesus Club, and Jesus would not be welcome in Jesus Club. They're becoming smaller and smaller, and as they become less of the majority, and in 2045, people as pasty as me will no longer be the majority population in this country.
Does that scare you, John? Because it doesn't scare me.
They're not going to go gracefully. What scares me is the white people who are not going to go gracefully because they think they own this country. They're the ones flipping out. They're already doing it. What do you think these bigots are panicking about this hideous great replacement theory? I mean, whatever they can do, they are just trying to keep America as white as they can. The reason why Christianity has declined is not because people don't like God or don't like Jesus or don't like the scriptures. It's because of the hypocrisy of these fascist, flock-fleecing Pharisee frauds. Right-wing Christianity that has taken the teachings of love, the teachings of empathy, the teachings of forgiveness, and they have turned it into a cult and they got the followers of Jesus to vote against everything Jesus ever talked about.
And they wear that
by
hat.
Talking about abortion, which Jesus never talked about.
They have the mega hat. Isn't that the Antichrist? I mean, I'm the non-believer, man. And so I certainly am tuned into the hypocrisy, John.
Well, the Antichrist is all rubbish. These people go for Book of Revelation because Jesus' inconveniently liberal teachings are unpleasant to read. So you will never hear, and I'm saying this to your very attractive listeners, you will never hear MAGA people or right-wing people quoting Jesus. They'll quote parts of the Old Testament. They'll quote St. Paul. They'll quote Book of Revelation. They'll quote Left Behind books and think it's Jesus. They don't quote Jesus because they don't follow him. They hate his teachings. They're not Christian. Jesus says in the Judgment of Nations, Matthew 25, what he's going to judge people on, and it's not by how mean you were to trans kids. It's not by how much money you gave or how often you went to church. Jesus judges people on how they took care of the poor, took care of the sick, how
immigrants?
Much they welcome
the immigrants,
welcome the sick, and how they took care of the stranger, welcome the stranger, and how they took care of people in prison. That's it. Republicans reject Jesus's marching orders. You don't need to believe in any of this to use it against these frauds and remind them that Jesus is a prop for them, nothing more.
John Fugel saying, our fine guest.
These Trump. Are the, by the way, I do this at children's parties, this exact set. Yeah. This is what I open
weddings, with. Bar mitzvahs.
It's clean. I promise it's clean comedy. It's all ranting about fascists.
Trump, not always clean. He is doing a little set in Howell, Michigan, a campaign stop today. And I find it interesting because the Nazis were marching through Howell, Michigan like 3 weeks ago, chanting, we love Hitler, we love Trump. And I even saw the...
Where did Ronald Reagan announce his 1980 campaign?
Well, it was in... like Philadelphia, Mississippi,
that's
was
correct.
It not?
Exactly right. The folks who get it get
this
it.
This is a tip of the cap to the white nationalists, is it
yes.
not, John?
Yes.
And I know Fox News trying to cover for him, their response was, well, Biden went to Howell, Michigan in 2021 to, you know, talk about Build Back Better. And I'm like, yeah, but not 3 weeks after the Nazis were there.
Yeah.
John, do you think this is really a, do you think, you know, am I reading too much?
Is it no. as obvious as it seems, in your opinion?
Yes, it's all code talk. I mean, look, Donald Trump can come out and say he renounces Project 2025. But until the media takes the time to ask him which specific parts of it he renounces, he's just renouncing the name. What's in it, he has not refuted. What's in it is what he's fighting for. What's in it is what his hapless followers are fighting for. They don't realize it. That and tax cuts for rich people. You know, and it's funny that he's in Michigan because you look at Man Baby, he has nothing to offer union labor because he hates unions. He's an oligarch. He's an aristocrat. He's a millionaire at birth. He hates organized labor. Hates it. That's why he had undocumented illegals build his hideous tower on Fifth Avenue. Only person in this race, by the way, who's hired undocumented workers in two different centuries to avoid paying a living wage to American workers. Democrats, you're allowed to make that point.
Please do.
They won't, but he's in Michigan, and he's been demonizing electric vehicles all year because he has nothing to offer unions. He's a scab. He talks to scab members and tries to make people think it's... So he's slamming EVs. Then Elon says, I'm going to give you a lot of money, and now Donald Trump is okay with EVs because he is a whore who believes in nothing and is advertising that he is for sale.
John Fugel saying, our fine guest, thank you for joining us here at the table at the
DNC. Thank you. That's usually the line where they ask me to leave, but I'll be here all week, folks.
John, you've got the evening shift, much like we do on WCPT
that's
tonight.
Right.
How can people listen to Sirius
you
and hear you tonight?
You can listen live on SiriusXM Progress, channel 127. If you don't have that, our free podcast comes out the next day with the highlights, and I'm up in the sky booth doing a hockey game play-by-play with this thing. So
nice.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you,
it's
John.
Good to
see you.
Great to see you. We've got another fine guest joining us here at the table momentarily. Paige Gardner, president, founder of PSG Consulting. New polling out. We'll tell you all about it.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show live from the DNC in Chicago at the United Center. Follow us on the Twitters at Devil Radio. Also on Facebook, the Devil's Advocates Radio.
Got to thank John Fugelsang, our buddy from SiriusXM. Listen to him on channel 127, the Progress channel tonight. Or you could listen to us. But we got another fine guest. She has joined us at the table. She is Paige Gardner, president, founder of PSG Consulting. Paige, thank you.
Thank you.
We understand you've got some new polling out, and we want to understand the nature of this polling. It really has to do with women. So why women? Why are you targeting them as a demographic to specifically poll?
Unmarried women is the group of women we targeted because marital status determines whether you register, whether you vote, and how you vote. Just to give an example, they voted for President Obama in 2008. They gave him it was 70%. That was the level of support that unmarried women gave President Obama. So they are an enormous voting bloc. They are now, with Vice President Harris, very motivated. But what we did was look at unmarried women under 55, what was their support for the new ticket? What are their issues? What do they care about? And what motivates them to turn out, but really engage in a bigger way?
Paige, did you by chance ask about K cat ownership status?
You know, it was one of the shortcomings of the poll.
So close.
Very close.
Obviously, we have a different demographic that seemingly supports, and I'm talking about females specifically. They seemingly are with the Democratic Party. And I look at the policies of the current Republican Party, and I suspect I know why. But what has your polling shown you? And who do the Democrats need to really work to attract?
Well, they do need to work to attract unmarried women, particularly because they are the majority of women now. And those under 55 are a plurality. But there are things that drive them. And all of the policies, it seems, coming out of the Republican candidates are punitive. Think about abortion. That's a very big issue for them. They really care about being able to decide when and if to have a family, as most Americans do. They also care very deeply about housing. Housing costs are skyrocketing, and because they make less money than married women, particularly, it's a bigger portion of their overall income. So they're struggling with housing, they're struggling with rent, they're struggling with food prices, they're struggling with inflation.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates live at the DNC in Chicago. We're here at the United Center, and at the table with us is Paige Gardner, president, founder of PSG Consulting. And Paige, your research is directed towards a lot of the swing states, and I'm from Wisconsin. We care a lot about our state. I see that you've listed Georgia, Michigan, North Carolina, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. I don't see Wisconsin on the list, but these seem to be a lot of the Midwestern states. Do you think that most of your demographics would carry across, let's say, to a state like Wisconsin?
We looked at Wisconsin specifically. There are 640,000 unmarried women who are eligible to vote in that state. They have an enormous power to determine who is elected. Remember the thin margins in 2020. These women can take President Harris over the top line.
Paige, you mentioned 70% of this demographic coming out and supporting President Barack Obama. What's that number now? Do we have a baseline? I mean, that obviously a high watermark there. Where are we at right now, do you know?
Their margins have improved greatly from when, you know, President Biden was in the race. And their margins are in the 60s now.
Okay.
So they have room to grow. Yeah. Right.
Excellent. And what I got to get your opinion, and if maybe it's not a policy thing, but some of the recordings of previous conversations that the Republican vice presidential candidate have come to light, specifically talking about agreeing with a right-wing interview, talking about the one purpose of postmenopausal woman is to take care of the grandchildren. And the guy, J.D. Vance, he agreed with that statement. Now, that's not a policy issue, but it's certainly something that I think that a lot of people, if you polled single women, would have an issue with. It's not a poll question, but I'd like to get your personal opinion on that.
Many unmarried women don't have grandchildren as they age, so I don't know what they would do with their time. Maybe J.D. Vance can come up with some other ideas. But, you know, these women are so important. And the fact that J.D. Vance and the Republican candidates talk to them and express their wishes about controlling women's lives. And it's not just about abortion. They want to control so many aspects of women's lives.
I think it's a good concept that we hear constantly here at the DNC and the Democrats talking about moving forward and not going back. I think it's a theme that's going to continue to resonate. Any other major findings of this poll that you think are something that we should know about?
These women should be reached and motivated to turn out, and when they do, candidates win elections.
Do we have, and how is that done? I mean, what would be, do you think, the most efficient, effective way to, you know, have that outreach?
It's neighbor to neighbor is the most effective way. And then there's the traditional campaign tactics, mail, phone, advertising. But these women really want to engage in a conversation, and community is very important to them.
Paige, did you differentiate in your polling between women of color and let's call them Caucasian women?
Yes, and women of color are huge back unmarried women of color are a huge backbone of unmarried women in this country. And so, and their support for the Democratic ticket is very, very strong, much stronger than overall.
Excellent. Very informative. Paige Gardner, president and founder of PSG Consulting. I'm not always great at enunciation. You wouldn't believe they'd give me a radio show, Paige.
Yeah, a couple of us have had that problem.
It's been a long week, and it's only Tuesday. Paige, so nice to meet you. Thank you so much for joining us here at the DNC. We are the Devil's Advocates, and we anticipate Earl Ingram joining us and maybe even the Democratic Party chair of the great state of Wisconsin. I hear he's in the building, might dip over. And my senator, Diane Hesselbein from Middleton. So, big show. It's always fun when we're on the road. Thank you, Paige Gardner. More Devil's Advocates live at the DNC.
The Devil's Advocates, never personal, only politics.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show live at the DNC. We're at the United Center in Chicago. It is a cavalcade of political stars up in here, Dom. We want to thank the fine pollster, Paige Gardner, our most recent guest from PSG Consulting. And we got another fine guest at the table. She is my Senator Diane Hesselbein. She is the Senate Minority Leader from the great state of Wisconsin. Diane, so great to see you.
It is so great to
see
you
Chicago.
Too, Mike. Oh my gosh, it's fantastic to be here.
And you just got here, so you don't have the hangover like some do.
But do not.
You made the breakfast this morning, which is so good because I did not get up for today's
breakfast.
I didn't make. Yesterday, I missed Tim Walz. I was there.
How did you do that?
They discouraged us as press. They're like, oh, we're overbooked. You don't get a chair. You're going to have to stand in the penalty box.
Oh, man.
You don't want to come. There's
Diane,
just
he had one job.
One job. That was the and press job.
And I blew it.
Yeah.
And today.
Mark Kelly.
I got up early, and then I went back to bed.
Okay. Okay, well, you missed Mark Kelly. He was fantastic. They had a lot of great speakers. Sarah Godlewski spoke, of course. She's great.
Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear, I hear, was very
fantastic.
Good.
Fantastic. Yeah, it was fun to see them in person, right? Because you never know. They always seem bigger. Like, I don't know why, but then you seem like, oh.
Mark Kelly is not a large man. We saw him out here in the hallway yesterday.
Yeah.
He's like my size.
I know,
you
know,
you
right?
You got to be little getting the cockpits and the,
right?
and the rocket ships and
good,
all that.
And they're all in good shape, too. So
yes, of course.
Mm-hmm, they are. Every speaker here. Mm-hmm. It's a thing.
Is that a thing? Because I didn't know. I should have been traded.
Look around.
So, Diane, everybody knows, and it's crazy. I watched J.D. Vance in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And J.D. Vance is saying it's all about Wisconsin. Of course, the Democrats are also in Wisconsin today. Kamala Harris is doing a rally in Milwaukee. I'm very twisted. I want to be at both events.
So do I.
Wisconsin, it's the center of the universe. And, you know, top of the ticket, we love Kamala Harris. But it's also the first time we've had fair maps in the state of Wisconsin in over a decade. How optimistic are you about the legislative races this cycle?
I am super optimistic. You know, this is the first time that I haven't had to recruit a candidate. They came to us, and it was multiple people saying, I know, right? We're like, can you please run? Would you please consider running? This time it was, I want to run. This is my platform. This is who I am, and this is why I make a difference. And we have great candidates running in every single corner of the Senate, in every single district for the first time in over 20 years. And why? Because we finally have fair maps, and people know they have a shot at getting in.
Diane, I'd love to call you Majority Leader Hesselbein.
I would love to be called that as well.
It would take a hell of a miraculous miracle in this cycle because half the senatorial races are on
that
the map.
Correct.
All the assembly races, but half the Senate races. Where are the ones we should pay attention to as political observers?
So I would definitely say for the Senate, we're up, like you said, every 4 years. So we're not going to get to the majority for another 2 years. And so we have a plan to do that. We're looking really hard, working hard with Jamie Wall up in Green Bay. He's a fantastic candidate. He grew up on a farm, and he was one of the first people in his family to go to get higher education and go to school. He graduated, was a Rhodes Scholar, wants to live in Green Bay to give back to the community, and he wants every other farm kid to have that opportunity. It kind of really tugs at your heartstrings.
Yeah, right, yeah.
We have Kristen Elfine in the Appleton-Oshkosh seat. That's a really great seat for us. She and her wife have been working hard every single weekend, talking with voters and listening to hear their priorities. We also have Sarah Kieski. That's like in the Sauk, Columbia, and Dane County. Goes all the way into Madison. She's a first-time candidate, mental health provider. She's running against Joan Bolwig. The last time a Republican...
That'd be an important pickup.
Yes, we'd be happy.
That would the last Republican to win that seat was 1998, and that was Tommy Thompson. Finally, we have Jody Habish-Simikin. She's running against Dewey Strobel in that Milwaukee area, and she's doing a fantastic job as well. So I'm excited for all four of these candidates. And, of course, we have to keep Brad Paff. He's our
lacrosse
protect. Yes, lacrosse area.
Our buddy. We like Brad.
Oh, I love Brad. He's fantastic. He does more for agriculture than probably anybody else in our caucus and explaining what things are and what we need to do.
Well, Diane, here in Chicago, we've got to set a good example. When we, Dom and I, joined the Wisconsin contingent at their hotel in Philadelphia, the last night they brought all the leftover beer out in the lobby.
Oh, fantastic.
And the Wisconsin contingent literally partied till like 6 in the morning. Are you prepared, Senator, to represent?
Man, I am pretty lame, I'll be honest. I know you guys were up late, and I'm looking at tonight going, how late are these speeches going to go? And then there's a party after this?
Right. They're going to go late, but it's going to, you know, it's going to be worth it. Come on, Kamala Harris in Milwaukee. They're going to show that here in Chicago.
Maybe. I hope so.
That's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm hearing.
And then the Obamas.
And then the Obamas.
I know the Obamas. I'm so excited.
And they're going to play the Obama speeches in the Pfizer Forum with the live audience there. I think it is a wonderful, brilliant
stroke. That's a brilliant move. Oh, my gosh. That's fantastic. So everybody can see the Obamas. Perfect.
And it involves Wisconsin in the DNC.
You
know what I mean? That's the one Milwaukee really didn't get. Well, you kind of get.
I know.
You get Kamala on the Tuesday of the DNC this time.
You get a little taste.
Absolutely. It's fantastic. I'm so excited for her race. I'm so glad she's at the top of the ticket. And my girls, I tell you, age 22 and 25, they are just over the moon excited to vote for her.
Well, I can tell you there's a much better chance my 18-year-old will vote for Harris than vote for Biden. So we're moving in the right direction. We'll see.
The enthusiasm is there. It is palpable, and I see it everywhere. Yeah, it's amazing.
It's a sea change.
Yeah.
Senator Hesselbein, so great to see you. Thank you so much for joining us here at the table. We're trying to sneak our friend Earl Ingram in.
Absolutely. Thanks for letting me pop on for a little
while.
Yeah,
it's great to see you. Awesome. Have a great time.
Hey, thank you so much.
Right. We'll see you at the party.
We'll see.
State Senator, Senate Minority Leader Diane Hesselbein from Middleton, Wisconsin. Always great to see her. And we're going to have our pal Earl Ingram sneak over to the table. Come on down, Earl Ingram, the man, the myth, the legend. Earl has been getting famouser since he's been here at the DNC in Chicago. I just saw Earl. I was standing out in the lobby with Earl. And Governor Tony Evers of the great state of Wisconsin comes by. He doesn't say hi to Crudy, does he, Earl? he says hi to Earl.
Well, since this is Throwback Tuesday, and it's good to see you guys, man.
Great to see you, Earl.
Thanks for the invite.
Earl, of course, is broadcasting on the mornings, 8 to 10 a.m. on Civic Media's own WAUK 540 and other local markets. Check your local listings. Earl, I saw you, with Jesse Jackson out there, man? Jesse Jackson is a local hero here in Chicago. The whole lobby was a flutter when Jesse came in, and he was in a wheelchair. They were helping him get to his feet. But, Earl, you were right there, man. You know Jesse. You've interviewed Jesse.
Well, you know, he's been on your airwaves when we were at over on Brady.
When you're
Street.
Broadcasting, they were your airwaves, yeah. Earl.
Well, yeah, but man, you got to think he's the guy who paved the way for Barack Obama. People don't often think about it, but in 1984,
Coalition.
Yeah, Jesse Jackson sparked energy and actually got more people signed up to vote than almost anybody in history. So. You know, Jesse Jackson is an icon. The person that we see now is still an icon. He always will be. And I got to know him personally, and just to see him again is a highlight, man. It really is.
And Earl, you got to interview Martin Luther King Jr.'s grandson earlier today. Martin Luther, or was it his son?
His son.
Oh, so
Martin Luther King III. And
how was that, Earl?
Man, that was. It's amazing because I always tell people I was 14 years old when Dr. King was moving. I was old enough to see it and be a part of it, and watching the civil rights struggle develop and the push of it as a young boy. And so, you know, I kind of lived my life. I watched Dr. King, and I emulated him with being a servant. I serve because I saw him serve. And so, he lives in me every day. Not a holiday, but every day. And so when I saw his son, son is not him, but, you know, he's still that bloodline, man. And it's an honor to be able to have an opportunity to speak with him.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got a fine talk radio host in his own regard. He is Earl Ingram of the Earl Ingram Show, plays out in Milwaukee, and you grew up in Milwaukee, a lifelong Milwaukee resident. Earl, I went to the Republican press conference over at Trump Tower yesterday featuring U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. And
That's your guy, man.
the other
we had a rough breakup.
It's complicated, Earl. Since January 6th, it's real complicated. But he was there with Rick Scott, and a nice Bloomberg reporter, I've met her a couple times, sitting next to me, asked, how can Trump attract black voters? And Ron Johnson got up and said, well, we're the party of Lincoln. And we, the Republican Party, don't look at the color of the skin. We're like MLK. We look at the contents of their character. And when I heard, Earl, when I heard Ron Johnson quoting MLK, it just didn't sound right coming out of his mouth.
Quoting or misquoting? Well, number one, so, and I wanted to put that to rest about them appealing to the black community. Think about 2 weeks ago, I wanted to address the issue that blacks are starting to lean towards voting for Republicans.
Yeah, they've been claiming that. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's this office in Milwaukee, right in the heart of black Milwaukee.
On North Avenue. Yeah.
And so I go there, and I say, well, I'm going to find out for myself. So I go, I knock on the door. I said, my name is Erling. We know who you are. I said, well, I want to see if I can get you on the air, right? We want to find out whether or not it's true that more and more blacks are voting Republican. And so when I got there and I asked him, the guy says, well, I said, can I get you to come on the air? You guys say you're in our community. You're saying that more and more blacks.
What day did you go down there? The Tuesday of the RNC? They bothered to open to join up?
So the guy says, okay, well, what do you want to talk about? I said, I want to talk about the fact, man, that you guys are saying more blacks are going to be voting Republican. And so to make a long story short, I was able to get one guy. Show up. He came to my show on a week before last, and I got him on and started interviewing him. And he says, well, Donald Trump has done a lot for the black community. I said, name one thing he's done.
Tax cuts.
Hey, Earl, I hate to interrupt, but we've got the fine Democratic Party chair.
Oh, man, I acquiesce. No.
Ben Wickler, please join us here at the table if you're able. He's setting his watch. He's on a short time frame. But we want to say hi to the Democratic Party chair of the great state of Wisconsin.
How can you not say hi to Mr. Ben Wickler?
Yes, absolutely. We'll squish together here. Ben, welcome to the party.
Thank you so much, Mr. Crute. Thank you, gentlemen.
Ben,
happy with your Earl.
You've been the bell on the ball here in Chicago, I guess we are. Wisconsin is definitely on everybody's mind this week, isn't it, Ben?
Oh, absolutely. Wisconsin, everywhere. So today we're going to have our cheeseheads on. And just walking through the hall, wherever I go with a cheesehead, people get excited. They start talking about Wisconsin. They know the greatest state. They also know the state that, you know, tips presidencies.
Right.
So this is the path that the White House goes through America's Dairyland.
And tonight, the Vice President, Kamala Harris, and her vice presidential nominee, Tim Walz, are going to be in Wisconsin. That makes for tough decisions.
What do you do, Ben? Chairman Wickler?
You know, we got a roll call to manage here in the United Center in Chicago, so I am going to be here, but there are going to be thousands of screaming, excited Wisconsinites in Fiserv Forum, right where Donald Trump decided that J.D. Vance was his ticket to ride. and I think there's going to be a real contrast, just rolling the tape between what happened in, you know, hour three of Trump's acceptance speech on that Thursday night versus what we're going to see for Harrison Walz in Wisconsin. And then they'll come here to Chicago, and everyone's going to erupt. It's going to be really exciting.
Ben, my understanding, Tammy Baldwin, Senator Baldwin, to give a speech from the stage this evening.
I That may be true. I don't have the specific information about
trust
it.
Trust me, Ben. All right, I wouldn't make it up.
I believe
make it up.
Well, then I look forward to it. I think she's going to be great.
I think she will as well. Ben, obviously, everyone's talking about Wisconsin. J.D. Vance on the I'm stalking the vice president tour. He's in Kenosha today. And first of all, his reaction to the DNC last night, let me quote here, boo. That was his direct quote. What did you think about the DNC? Boo. And anyways.
They've chosen the most powerful, compelling spokesperson. I hope they keep him in the spotlight. This is my message to them. Just keep going with this guy.
Do more of that.
Do more of that, yes. Send all the cameras to J.D. Vance so that especially women can see what the Republican Party thinks of the people whose vote it should be seeking.
And Ben, I was at the Republican presser with Ron Johnson yesterday. I don't know if you heard, but Ron thinks it's very difficult to be a billionaire.
Oh, yeah. It's just, I cry. I cry every night for the billionaires who's, it's so hard for them because they don't pay the same taxes as their secretaries. So they feel this deep sense of shame. And of course, they could just pay their taxes, but instead they don't. So then they feel bad and we have to feel sorry for them. That's totally understandable. Yeah.
Ben Wickler, we know we only had you for a minute. We appreciate you joining us. Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chairman Ben Wickler. We hope to see you later in the week, Ben.
Delight to be with you. Look forward to next time.
Yeah, thanks for saying hi, Ben.
Thanks so much, guys.
We are the Devil's Advocates live at the DNC. We'll come back with our pal, Earl Ingram. More of us. Stick around.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show live from the DNC in Chicago, the United Center. Follow us on Twitter at Devil Radio. You can check us out on the Facey Bookies at the Devil's Advocates Radio.
And want to thank Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chairman. And want to thank our pal Earl Ingram for being a little flexible, our colleague in broadcast. Earl broadcasts 8 to 10 a.m. every weekday right here on the Civic Media. And Earl, we appreciate you sticking around, man. Are you, you got to be a little twisted. Kamala's going to Milwaukee, and here you are. Here I am. I'm also twisted. I wanted to do a doubleheader. I wanted to go see Kamala Harris. I mean, it's in our backyard, Earl.
You know, man, I'm still just blown away by what has transpired, man. You know, Kamala Harris was kind of nondescript.
Like seven weeks ago,
yeah,
six weeks
man,
ago, right?
For almost 3 years, you know, Kamala Harris was someone who was basically, I hate to say it, but she wasn't very visible.
It kept on the sideline.
Kept on the sideline.
It's not her administration. It's the Biden administration.
That's absolutely the case. And there were people who said that they wanted to make sure that she wasn't seen and invisible. And so it led people to believe that she wasn't a very bright person. I don't know how you can ever think that somebody who has held the offices that she's held wasn't a bright person. And,
but you've interviewed her. You know, Kamala Harris. You've had her, what, three times, Earl?
Well, but Kamala Harris is, and when she's a very, very bright woman. Yes, she giggles. And I, you know.
Only when she's talking to you, Earl.
No, there were times when I even thought, hey, come on, man. You know, the vice president.
Come on, I know. I laugh a lot, man. I love to laugh. Laughing's good, man. Laughing is joyful.
I know, but I never use that as to think that it would meant that it impacted her intellect.
All right. Well, she's not intelligent because of that, yeah.
She's a very, very bright woman, man, to get reelected, you know, in the biggest state in the nation. Come on.
Biggest state, most populous, and what, the fifth largest economy in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something. And then to be what, senator? And then to, again, elect statewide elections, right? And then to be vice president. Yeah. The GOP, the MAGAs are just losing their mind over it.
Well, you know, man, I didn't think that it was going to be, to be honest with you, I didn't think that the nation was ready, that it was going to come this soon, that a woman, not just a black woman, but a woman was going to be this position to possibly become the president of the United States.
What are you talking about? You forget about Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, but you saw what happened to Hillary Clinton.
lost marginally in a couple of electoral college.
Well, but I think I read something where 53% of women didn't vote for her, or some outlandish number, because women didn't feel connected to her in some way, shape, or form. I think they were intimidated by the type of person Hillary Clinton was.
Well, she was a powerful woman, but she was also torn down by Fox News for like 15 years. And the difference, I think, with this campaign, they got 77 days. Do your worst. You know, you don't have 15 years to build this sort of monologue about Kamala Harris. And most of what I see the right trying to throw as mud against Kamala Harris's record or whatever else, it ain't sticking, Earl.
Well, you see all these powerful women moving around here politically.
You don't see this that used at the to RNC.
Be, no, but this used to just be men,
right.
The good big old boys.
Yeah.
But look at all the brilliant women that are around and well-educated, and they've been waiting for this opportunity.
They've been working for this opportunity, right?
Yes, and so they are organized. They are going to vote overwhelmingly to support Kamala Harris, and I don't know how the Republicans are going to be able to overcome that, because the only thing Donald Trump can do is attack, and if he attacks her from the perspective of being a woman, they're further and further alienating women who outnumber men.
Keep digging the hole.
Right?
Keep digging the hole. Keep doing more of that. Earl Ingram Jr., our fine guest for just a couple more minutes. Earl, the National Association of Black Journalists, and I forget the lady's name, she did a great job. Her very first question to Donald Trump when he decided to show up for that disaster of a whatever that was, I thought laid it out. You know, laid out this all the history of things that Donald Trump had said about black people, about black journalists, about black judges and black politicians, and why should black people, you know, trust you now? And he had no response to that. There was it was you're nasty. You're nasty. I came here in good faith. Where's my opponent? You're nasty. That's not going to, to my opinion, Earl, win over any converts in the black community.
Well, you know, those of us who've been around a while, you know, a few days older than Dirt, we understand, man, who Donald Trump is. And Donald Trump is a person that he's been, that I've known known about for over 50 years. And he certainly has done nothing to endear himself to people of color. What he's counting on, younger blacks in their 20s and their 30s, and he throws a bone, and the Republican Party is throwing a bone to some of them. They argue and say that the Democratic Party is not giving us an opportunity. I talked to some of them, and so they're leaning towards that. But they're the exception. They're not the rule. And so not to worry.
Earl Ingram, I believe it was Rachel Scott from ABC asked the questions on behalf of the NABJ of Donald Trump, and he called her a nasty woman, didn't like her much. Earl, any other big stuff happening this week? You got anyone scheduled people can tune in for? They should know about?
Well, man, listen, I'm here, man, and, you know, it's always great to be around you guys, and so I don't need to think about tomorrow. I'm thinking about right now, sharing
the
microphones
with
you guys.
The third interview being played?
Oh, Dr. Martin Luther King III. We had a 15-minute interview with him that we'll be playing back tomorrow or the day after. I'm really excited about it.
Make a choice. It's tomorrow.
We'll find out.
We'll find out.
Hey,
you better listen every day.
All right. It's great to be with you guys,
you
as too, always,
thanks,
man. Thank you for the opportunity.
Great to see you. Right. Earl Ingram, host of the Earl Ingram Show on Civic Media. Listen for him on WAUK. We got a fine guest. He is the Attorney General of the great state of Wisconsin, Josh Call. He joins us at the DNC next, right here in Chicago at the United Center. More Devils Advocates. You're listening right now.